Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and our guest this week is an activist and content creator who I had the delight of getting to interview on my mental health podcast recently. Now back in my Zoom, I'm ready with some wild dating stories. Please welcome Alexander Trice.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm so happy to be back.
You look incredible as always. You know, I know podcasting is an audio medium, but I'm going to make sure to link your Instagram in the description.
Aww, you're so sweet. Thank you. I appreciate it. And you look so cute yourself today. So you did a little makeup look.
I've been a lot more interested in it recently. A lot of the time I can't be bothered, and I know that's partly informed by being male and not having any expectations of makeup. But then by contrast, I feel like when I do, I'm like, okay, now I make an effort. I don't want anyone squinting at me being like, is he wearing eyeshadow? I'm like, no, I'm going to make it obvious. So I think that's the thing. That's why I'm like, most of the time I don't care. And then every so often I'm like, today's the day.
Good. Today, tomorrow's the day. Every day could be the day if you want it to be the day.
And you know what? This is a fun thing about podcast hosting as well, is that because most of the time I'm interviewing people I've never met before, I get this like opportunity to be like a completely kind of solid being to them, where like however I turn up on the day, people are like, oh yeah, that's how you dress. It's fun.
I love that.
I didn't see that coming until the pandemic. And then I was like, oh, they maybe think I always wear pajamas and it's a bit, or they think that these aren't pajamas, one or the other.
It's all subjective, isn't it?
Honestly. And so tell me this. Some top notes of your dating story. Kind of, could you set the scene of a bit of your dating life overall before we get into any stories?
Yeah. So I guess I would consider myself a dataholic before I got married, which I am married now. It's been 5 years. Before I got married, there was a whole lot of dating that happened. And actually, starting like really young, I actually started dating women, girls, when I was still in the closet. And I dated some really interesting girls, actually. One was a singer, one was a model, one was like a runner for Miss Puerto Rico. And I somehow had a lot of girlfriends. And then around 18, when I came out, is when I started dating guys. And I have dated everything from like, again, models to... I dated a porn star at one point. That was really interesting. Didn't discover he was a porn star until 6 months into a relationship, though. And he had made plenty of, like, obvious comments about it, but I somehow ignored them.
Hold on. Let's pause on that. So, no, this is interesting to me, because I was there thinking, oh, he probably was holding back until the right time to tell you, or didn't want you to, like, think differently of him or have like weird expectations of what should happen in the bedroom. And instead he was trying to tell you all along.
Yeah, he was. And I completely ignored it. And actually he wasn't outright telling me, but he was like giving me hints, you know, and it was only until like much later that I found out, again, 6 months into our relationship. And I was so shocked. I was like, completely shocked. I mean, I actually sat on the phone with him for like 2 hours, just almost in silence. And I was like, wait, I have to think about this. Because I was definitely a lot more of a prude back then. I actually was like a really jealous person, like not in a dangerous form, but like I just was like, when I would date people, I was like, I am the first one you've ever had and the only one you ever had. It better be that way or nothing, you know? It was like really like unhealthy. And I think that was just like due to like a lot of other issues that I was dealing with. But
also I think a lot of that does get socialized into men. You know, that even that a lot of it does take unpicking, because we can be raised in that way to see the number of partners somebody's had as something that increases the value of a man but decreases the value of a woman. You know, we have to kind of work to rail against that stuff. And also I think a lot of the time it plays into your insecurities then, that you're like, oh, well, that means they've got more people to compare me against.
And that was my thing. I always felt like I was being compared against other people, and I was comparing myself against other people. It wasn't them. It was me. And so I was always like super jealous of other people, you know, being in the picture. And I just couldn't think about it. Like it would drive me crazy. Like I would think about it too much. Like, oh, he's probably, you know, he probably had more fun with that person than me. And like, it was so silly. And now, you know, hindsight's 20/20. But now I'm like, damn, what a little psycho. Like, what was wrong with me? But you know what? Everybody has their time to process. And I think a lot of younger people actually deal with this, the insecurity. So yeah, I mean, it was warranted in the way that that's just what my experience was, but it also wasn't warranted because it was all being made up in my head. So yeah, it was really interesting.
Yeah. And yet that's so common that like so many outside factors can influence our relationships. I'm thinking about that even with when you described dating women in the past, and the way you describe it, you know, sounds like a kind of stereotypical like success story that you were finding people you connected with. And part of that maybe is that those people were seen as externally valuable, right? If they're a model, for example, that can be, I mean, I've been there myself where I had an ex that would introduce me as, this is my boyfriend, the model. And I'm like, I have four jobs. That is the one I spend least time in. Interesting that you're leading with that. I'm learning some things about our dynamic. And that is a bit of a trend I see sometimes with queer people who are yet to embrace their queerness, that sometimes you can be seemingly, I'm doing like air quotes, like successfully straight or straight passing, in that maybe because it's so external that you're trying to be the person that's expected of you, or that you feel at that point in time, that's the only person I feel I can be, then and it almost ends up looking from then the outside that, oh, but you had such beautiful girlfriends, everything must be fine, just keep with that.
Yeah, they were my beards. They essentially, you know, kept me in the closet in a way, and I felt safe and it was affirming. And yeah, that's what it was, you know. And I did have love for them, absolutely, because there were human beings and I like totally had love for them. But little did I know, I just maybe wanted to be them in a way. Funny enough, one of my first girlfriends ever, it's so funny because it was like middle school. But she is my best friend to this date. And I talked to her yesterday, actually. And she's one of the best people I have ever met in my entire life.
Oh, that's so lovely. Yeah. How wholesome. Yeah. And by contrast, I'm getting the impression that your dating story you're going to share is not as wholesome.
Like, let's just say it was a shitty situation. And that will all kind of make sense in a break.
Okay, let's hear it.
Yeah, let's get into it. So, all right, so picture this. It's like 2014. Tinder is like still super hot. I don't know if it's like, is it still hot? I haven't dated in so long. Do you know? Do you happen to know Tinder's still even?
Yes, I'd say it's very popular, but it's almost becoming like Facebook now, where it's like everyone has a profile. Do you remember your login details? Do you ever go on there? Is a different question.
Yes. Okay, gotcha. So yeah, so this is like Tinder. We're talking about like we're in the midst of like the Tinder, like, it is like the Tinder trend, you know, like everybody was on Tinder. Mm-hmm. So I'm like here swiping, you know, right, left, whatever. And I match up with this super gorgeous guy. So we meet in person, you know, we get set up, we meet in person, because I'm like, I like to meet right away. I don't like to have too much conversation. I want to see what you look like in real life, because I'm not trying to get catfished. And so
actually, can we pause right there? Because what's your strategy like in terms of getting to meet somebody quite quickly?
Usually during the first conversation, I'm like, great, let's meet up in person. How about this place? Like, I suggest something immediately, because I don't want to like, I don't want to drag it on forever. Because in the past, I have definitely like drug it on for too long. And then I met them in real life and I was like, ooh, this is not the vibe. And I was like catching feelings and like from like not even meeting them in person. But you know, sometimes in person, it's a totally different experience.
No, I like that. I mean, that's even quicker than I think I normally am. And I'm similar.
Yeah. I mean, it was trial and error to get there for sure. Like I didn't learn that overnight, but.
What do you think the success rate was?
I mean, honestly, a lot of the people I actually did end up meeting, like maybe like, let's say 8 out of 10 potential dates would agree that, let's just meet. No, yeah, there was really no big pushback. There was maybe a few flakes that were like, oh yeah, let me look at my calendar. And then that to me was a sign of like, that's not going to work for me anyway. You know, I mean, who knows? Like maybe I'm wrong, but it seemed to be pretty right for me.
No, I love this. Yeah. And so you've matched with someone on Tinder. They're meeting up with you just as quickly as you'd hoped.
So we meet up. We go to this cute little Indian restaurant for our first date. And he walks in, because I got there early, of course, as usual. And he walks in and he's like 6'4". And just for reference, I'm 5'3". Okay, so he is like a foot taller than I am. Gorgeous, super beefy. Like he essentially tended to look like Clark Kent, but like Clark Kent on steroids. he's dressed up in this like beautiful suit, and I'm like, damn, this is like, I wasn't expecting this to be like, that was in jeans. And he comes in and he sits down and he's like, hey, you know, we say hi to each other. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like over here, like fanning myself in my mind. Like, is it hot in here? Or is it me?
Or is it him?
Or is it him? And so it was definitely him at the time. So he sits down and he's like, hey, I'm so sorry. Immediately, he's like, I'm so sorry. I'm overdressed. I'm actually a high-end suit salesman. And I'm like, oh, okay, now this makes sense. So
I like the awareness. This is good.
Yeah, I was like, okay, this is good. This is good. But I was like, damn, you look great in a suit. Like, who doesn't like a man in a suit? I mean, not everybody likes a man in a suit, but I, especially at the time, I was like all about it. So super cute. We have a great first date. We have a great dinner and we keep it just to the dinner. And then that's it. We go home and we continue writing each other for a couple more days. And then we're like, you know what, let's meet up again. Because I was excited to have met him. Our date went well. And I was like, let's meet again. Let's hang out again. Why not? So second date's always kind of like another test. Because first date, you get the little butterflies. You get the first, you know, the first idea of who you think they are. But the second date is, you know, kind of a next level test. And in the gay world, you know, the second date usually leads to a little stayover. So generally,
I'm not wow. speaking for all big gays, sentiment. No, you're talking for all the gays. I'll let them know.
You know, have you heard the term a gay handshake is basically just making out?
I did not know that.
That's the gay handshake, is making out. So on the second date, we decided to meet up somewhere else to have, you know, again, a cute little dinner. But this time we decided that he was going to stay the night at my place.
Just a quick question on this then. So for yeah. you, do you tend to kind of know going into a date, you know, what your boundaries are, like how far you're willing for things to go?
Yeah. Generally, I respect anybody else's boundaries as well. And I did date people that definitely were like, not like they didn't want to hook up or whatever. And that's fine. And I was totally okay with that. But I mean, my boundaries were pretty low at that time. As far as my personal boundaries were, I was just like, yeah, let's whatever. I mean, whatever feels like it's flowing and if it feels right, let's go for it. I'm definitely a lot more adventurous in that way. So, you know, I was open to whatever. It was really like a decision we both kind of felt like it was appropriate in a way to just kind of have a sleepover a second night. We all know what that was going to lead to.
Did it go on feeling right?
That's the question. So this leads to the adventure that we had on our second date after a nice dinner, and the real adventure begins. So we get to my place and he's like, hey, would you mind if I take a shower? Like a quick shower. I've been working all day. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Of course. Like, no worries. Of course. We're potentially going to hook up. So I'm like, yeah, please take a shower. Cause you know, I like a clean man. So I give him a towel. Take him into the bathroom. I'm like, here you go. Here's your towel. I teach him how to turn on the shower because, you know, everybody's shower is different. That is, by the way, when you go to somebody's house when you're dating, like, if you invite somebody to your house and they want a shower, teach them how to turn on the damn shower, because I can't tell you how many houses I've been to where I don't know how to turn on a shower because it's different everywhere.
Oh, no, that's a rule of the game right there, because it's true. And I've had it once where I could not work it out. Because there was like a switch way up on the wall to turn the water on and none of the other buttons worked otherwise. And yeah. How mortified I felt going and being like, I don't know how to turn the shower on.
Yes.
I felt like a child.
That's happened to me too. I went to this super fancy new building in San Francisco with this other guy I was dating. And I wanted to take a shower. And at his place, actually, the tables were turned. And I could not figure out how to turn on the shower. There was no buttons anywhere. I'm like, and there was no knob. I'm like, how do you do this? So anyway, that was just, I'm just putting out a little rule of thumb for anybody.
I love that. And so you take him into the bathroom, you show him how to work the knobs.
All right. Yep. So we've got him in the bathroom. I'm like, all right, cool. So I walk out and I'm like waiting for him and I'm waiting. It's like an hour by comes later. And I'm like, what is going on? So I like knock on the door and I'm like, hey, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. And I'm like, okay. Oh, wow. I'm just, you know, outside. Just let me know if you need anything. So another half an hour goes by and finally I hear the door open and he comes out and I'm like, okay, what the fuck happened in there? So he comes out and he's like, so, hey, I kind of clogged your shower, but don't worry. I will take care of it tomorrow. I will fix it tomorrow. I'll go get like some Drano or whatever and I'll fix it for you tomorrow. And I was like, okay. And I'm thinking, I'm like, damn, how am I going to take a shower? But I'm like, okay. It wasn't like too far off because the building that I used to live in, it was built in the 1920s. So I, you know, plumbing is questionable sometimes, you know? And so I was like, okay, maybe, I don't know. He didn't have long hair, but maybe his hair clogged up the, I don't know. He was a fuzzy guy too. So who knows? But then I'm like, I'm going to go check it out myself just to see if like it's something I can fix because I'm trying to take a shower.
Is that a thing for you that you always want both people to take a shower? Is that your kind of routine?
Not necessarily. I mean, again, if it's like in the heat of the moment, I mean, guilty. It's like not the end of the world. But since there was a shower available, you know, why not? I want to smell good, you know? Unless you don't want to smell good, because I definitely dated another guy who wanted me to go run and then come to his place, you know? So I was like, great. But it depends on what you like. So I go into the restroom. I'm like instantly hit with just the smell of ass. Like, I'm just like, oh my God, what happened in here? Like, clearly, like, I was like, wait, he probably just had a shit emergency. But then I open the shower curtain and it's like, there's like a puddle of water. Like, it's definitely clogged and it's like 2 inches of water. But then I'm like, what is the ass smell though? But I look next to my toilet and there was literally like two little like specks of just poop. Just, I don't know how else to say it. That was just like, yes. I wish people could see the face you made right now because it's my face. I was mortified.
I went into my armadillo.
I was mortified. I was like, oh my gosh, there's literal shit on the fucking floor. Like, I could not believe this. So at this point, I'm like, what do I...
I'm so confused. I can't even begin to guess what happened in there.
And you know, to be honest, to this day, like... I feel like I should have gotten Nancy Drew on this, but like, I do not know what really happened for him to get necessarily like poop on the bathroom floor. But my assumption is that he was preparing himself to bottom. Let's just put it out there. And he probably had in his bag like a little douche kit or something like that. And I was like getting ready and maybe things just got a little out of control. I mean, that's all I can imagine that happened is that like, this is so gross. And I'm so sorry, everybody. This story is so crude, but it is just the reality.
We'll see. I'm on a different page entirely though, because I was listening to a podcast from Joe Firestone earlier. It's since stopped, which is very sad. So I just keep listening to the old episodes. It's called Everyday Decisions. And she had a guest on there that's obsessed with true crime podcasts. And she was like, but I wish there was a trigger warning for if the crime is never solved, because you're going to get me to listen to something for 2 hours hearing all about how somebody's out here brutally murdering. And then you're going to tell me in the last 5 minutes, oh yeah, P.S. they never caught him. That's what you're reminding me of. I'm just like, that's the trigger warning maybe I needed, that this guy is still at large and we don't know how he committed the murder yet.
I know. And I don't know if he's pooping in other people's floors, but maybe I should have spoken up. But so there was poop. Like, I I'm still like so shocked. I was so shocked. I didn't know like what to think. But instead of like actually addressing it, I totally ignored it. Like, I walked out of the bathroom, like, shocked, but I walked out of the bathroom and I was just like, shit happens, no pun intended. And so we go on with our night. Like, as if nothing happened. I had to put on a face, my best poker face possible, and not mention the poop on the floor.
And talk to me about your level of attractiveness to this person at this point.
You know, let me tell you something. When people are really hot to you, subjectively, you let a lot of things slide. And I guess at the time, I mean, now...
Slide being the word.
Thinking about it now, I probably would have said something and been a little bit more hesitant to kind of, you know, continue the night. But what was I going to do? Kick the guy out and be like, hey, you shit on my floor, get out of my house. So, and or make him feel uncomfortable. And I think I was a lot less upfront about things like that back then, where now I probably would be a lot more upfront about them.
Yeah.
But back then I was just like, okay, I'm going to forgive this because I don't want to make him feel uncomfortable. And I don't want to feel uncomfortable having this conversation.
Definitely. Yeah, fuck him. That's the least risky thing in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Yeah, so we continue the night and, you know, the deed happens. Like, we totally hook up and the next morning we wake up and he's like, hey, I'm going to make breakfast. And I'm like, cool. By this point, I had already enough time to kind of process what actually happened. And I'm like, oh no, I don't think I like this guy. Like,
what is he going to do to the kitchen?
And what is he going to do to the kitchen? Really great question. Because he goes and gets like breakfast stuff, comes back. There's like this little market next to my building. He goes and gets some breakfast stuff, comes back and like is in the kitchen, like making breakfast. And I'm not like the most like clean freak in the world, but I do like to have like my things pretty tidy and like clean. Like I don't like dirty per se. So I'm thinking, I'm like sitting in my living room, hearing him like knock things around the kitchen. I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen? What am I going to walk into? So finally he calls me, he's like, breakfast is ready. And I'm like, and then I'm like, still also at the same time, I'm feeling bad that I'm like probably going to be like, have to have a conversation with him about like, hey, maybe we should not date. Because like all of the butterflies I had just completely went away after, again, having time to process. So I walk into the kitchen and he's like, also, by the way, I'm really sorry, but I clogged your sink. I'm like, oh my God. So now my shower is clogged. My kitchen sink is clogged. And I'm like, what is this guy doing?
This guy hates drains. He's whatever the reverse of a plumber is. He's like, is he Bowser?
But he was after me. I felt at this point, I'm like, this is a personal attack against me. But then again, I'm like, he just made breakfast. And then I'm like, I'm younger and I'm feeling like, oh, that's very sweet. Like, I feel bad. Like, I don't want to make him feel bad. And so I'm like, no worries. You know, it's all good. Like, again, you know, when you get Drano for the tub, maybe you can make the same deal. And he's like, yeah. He's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. It's all good. So we eat breakfast. Breakfast is okay, by the way. Also deal breaker, because I'm a little bit of a food snob. Finish breakfast. I
was about to make a point about how, like, this is an interesting thing that you've brought up, because all of us do kind of round up people in our heads, right, as part of the dating process. So I don't know if we'd go on any second dates if we were really kind of rounding down on people, if we were actually like taking every potential concern and being like, are you actually a red flag, right? We have to kind of go along with things to get through it. And
yeah,
you know, you had me with that narrative until you were like, but in all of this, the breakfast, it was okay. No, not it was bad. It was okay. And that might be the thing.
Yeah, it was. I know. It's not the shit. It's the breakfast. I mean, you know, the whole situation was just, it gets worse though.
Oh,
this all gets worse.
Gonna make myself comfortable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
Okay. So finally, like, you know, he like, we finished eating breakfast and he's like, okay, well, I gotta go to work this afternoon. So I was like, oh God, thank God. I'm like wiping the sweat off my forehead because I was like so ready for him to just go. I did not expect breakfast. I didn't want it. And I should have made some excuse to be like, oh, sorry, I have somewhere to be. But I didn't think quickly enough. So he leaves. Great. That whole day, all I can think about is, and by left and didn't actually clean or unclog anything. I had to clean and unclog everything myself, just so you know. Like, I literally had to clean shit off the floor and unclog my tub and unclog the sink and do all the things myself that he promised he would do. So that was another deal breaker. So he leaves. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he leaves me with the mess. And I just the rest of the day, I'm thinking to myself, like, there's absolutely no way this is going to work at all. And so I'm trying to think of, like, how I can break this off, because he seems so smitten on me. Like, he was just, like, he was so about me. Like, he had like the puppy dog eyes and would just look at me like, oh, wow. And I'm like, although I loved that. And so he writes me this like message that was really sweet. And he's just like, hi, I just wanted to say I had a really great time. I'm like, I'm glad you did. And, you know, I can't wait to see you again and this and that. And I'm like, how am I going to let him down? Like, now he's just making it harder for me. Like, every time he's just making it harder for me to like break his heart, essentially. So I had to do it though. So I did. I texted him and I'm like, hey, really nice, you know, to have seen you. However, I just don't think that we're going to be a match, because I don't ghost people. That's another thing that I know is very common, but I don't ghost people. Like, I will say, no, I'm not interested. rather than just disappearing. So I sent him a message and I'm like, hey, thanks for the really nice message. It was nice to see you. However, like, I don't think, you know, we're going to be a match. And I couldn't really explain why. I was like, I just don't feel that the chemistry is there. I still couldn't bring myself to say, like,
to say biology.
You shit on my floor and clogged my, all of my plumbing, essentially. So we can't date, because that just grosses me out. And like, I can't imagine what it would be like to live with you. That's what I really wanted to say, which would be mean, you know? And so I just didn't say it. Like, he's like definitely butthurt about it. And I love the use of butt and ass like throughout this entire story, but he was butthurt about it. And like, as soon as I could tell him that, like, I walk into my room and then I see that, like, I'm like, I'm finally done with him. Like, there's, I don't have to see him again. Thankfully, like, this is done. Like, let's close that chapter. And I walk into my room. He left his tie at my place. And I'm like, fuck. I knew immediately that he was going to use that as an excuse to try to see me again. I just knew it. I felt it in my bones. And lo and behold, the next morning, I get a text from him. Hey, have you seen my tie by chance? It was a really expensive tie. And I think I might have left out of your place. And I'm like, shit. And instead of me being like, no, didn't see it, I'm like, yeah.
What tie? I wear. Have,
right? Fine. But you can totally slap me from the other side of the screen. But I was just like, I do have it, and I'll go ahead and bring it to you tomorrow.
What's your address? Let me mail it.
Yeah, I should have mailed it, right? No.
Also, here's a bill for some cleaning produce. I'll include that.
Oh my gosh. So this is like the story that never ends, because basically the next day I go to give him his tie, and I bring the tie with me to go give it to him, and I fucking lost the tie. I lost the tie. I might have left it on the train. I don't know what I did, but I lost the freaking tie. So I show up and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I don't have your tie. I lost it.
I think that's the universe saying you're done. This is done.
Yeah. Yeah. But I still met up with him because I couldn't. I don't know what I was thinking. I wish I could actually go back into my own mind and like ask myself what I was thinking back then. But I still met up with him and I was like, hey, I'm sorry. I lost your tie. And it was like on the way essentially to like bring it to him. I lost it. I must have left it like on the train when I was like, you know, going to bring it to him, just thinking about how much I didn't want to bring it to him.
Manifesting.
So I lost it. Yep. So I get to him and he went from like being this really nice guy to like super bitchy, like super mean and bitchy, and was like, oh, you lost it? Are you sure that wasn't on purpose? And I'm like, oh my God, this guy, another flag. This is like another flag that I'm like, again, another reason why this definitely had to end so quickly. And I'm like, I am so sorry. I'm like, I will literally go to, I'm like, how much was the tie? I will pay you for it. I know. I'm like, I was like really nice back then. Like, I'm not as nice now.
Yeah. What happened?
So I was like, I'll pay for it. He's like, it was $80. And I'm like, okay, fine. So I'm like, I went to an ATM, got $80, gave it to him, like with him. The entire time we're walking, like in silence. It was just so awkward. I give him the $80 and I'm like, finally done. I'm like, here's your $80. Go away. Hope to never see you again. Have a great life. Or don't, whatever. And I think that's it, right?
Mm.
And about like 2 weeks later, like I hadn't hooked up with anybody else. And all of a sudden I have like this like strange, like little pain. And I'm like, what's going on? Turns out I fucking had gonorrhea that I got definitely from him. Definitely. Because I had gotten tested right before him. And now I have to fucking call him and tell him, because again, I was like a nice person and I'm like, hey, you know, you just want to let people know. You want to let people know, and anybody else you hooked up with, you want to let them know, you know, word of advice to everybody who's listening to this and dating. If you get something, let them know, let the people you slept with know, so they don't have to find it out on their own. So I had to call him. I had to call him and ask him if he had gonorrhea, if he gave me gonorrhea. And it's just like, this is like the most annoying thing, because I just wanted it to be over. But this was just, he was like the, this is not the right saying, but like the gift that keeps on giving. It's not really a gift. It was maybe the curse that keeps on giving. And I can't even imagine what it would have been like had I dated him longer. But that was finally where it all ended, with gonorrhea. So that is the end of my story. The guy was terrible. And I guess maybe for, in some way of, you know, like maybe me kind of cursing him, or I got cursed back and got cursed with all of the things that he essentially instilled upon me, including clogged toilets, shit on my floor, gonorrhea, a loss of $80, which was a lot for me back then. yeah, thanks for listening to my TED Talk. Any questions?
You know, there's so much there. There's so much to get it. I feel like I should say, you know, whilst I don't think I have any of the answers to that situation that has blown my mind, if you ever find yourself in one as wild as that again, I will gladly make the phone call. I can do an excellent, I've worked in a call center. I can do a great secretary voice and be like, I'm just calling on behalf of Alexander Tries. Yeah, yeah, he's got a PA now. Don't worry about it. Doing very well for himself.
Oh my gosh, this was just the shittiest date I've ever had. It really was. And yeah, I can't believe that actually happened. Like, I've seen a lot during dating. But this definitely was one of the top, like, craziest moments I've ever experienced in dating. Yeah. Hopefully nobody else gets in a shitty situation. And if you ever find yourself in a situation like I was, run. Just run.
You know what, though? I think the lesson here is there are always many times in a situation like this when you can get out. And you know what? Often even you're valued more for getting out. You know, like you nicely wrapped up the dynamic, and you know, and he found a way to come back and ask about the tie. You know, if he'd been horrible, maybe he wouldn't have, you know. So this is the thing. Sometimes, you know, treating people right and, you know, ending things when they should end, actually, yeah, you go away being a perfectly reasonable human that they may or may not romanticize further down the line. And I was only having a chat with my mate Nina about this earlier, who's been on the pod. And, you know, we were talking about, like, both of us have it all the time where people come back in our life. And it's not even necessarily someone that we've had a big thing with. Oftentimes it's the opposite. But, you know, dating can be wild and not everyone's behaving. And so every so often you come across a really genuine person like yourself. And then you go, you know, maybe it doesn't work out. You go back to the dating scene and you're like,
yeah,
I wonder.
Yeah.
I wonder, where is Alexander and have they got any of the gifts that I've left?
What do you mean?
Oh, no, because you called it the gift that kept on giving.
Oh.
Never mind. Not every joke lands.
I didn't get it. I didn't land. I'm sorry. Either that or I'm just like, I'm still thinking about shit on the floor. It's very traumatic.
I think we might need to move on before this becomes the Brown episode. So, what are we transitioning into next? I mean, actually, the surprise segue. So jumping back into nice, wholesome stuff, get us away from the shit. Tell me about, you're in a really cool relationship now with Alejandro. And, you know, that in itself is a dream to me because I'm obsessed with the Lady Gaga song. So I think you're already winning and we're just starting on the name. And so could you tell me a bit about how yous found each other?
Yeah, so we actually found each other on OkCupid.
Interviewed someone from OkCupid only recently. Fun.
Did you? Very interesting. Yeah, OkCupid was it back then. I mean, I felt like I had a lot more quality dates from OkCupid than from Tinder, which was interesting because people are just people no matter where they come from. But for some reason, the quality of the dates seemed like so much better from OkCupid.
Yeah, I think so, it's a slightly more serious stock of people, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And there was, like, a lot more information. And, like, there was, like, you know, depending on, like, how thorough you were, you could have paragraphs of, like, a bio of yourself on OkCupid. And then there was, like, the questionnaires and, like, which I found really helpful. Because at the time, like, I had my non-negotiables. Like, I wanted to date people who wanted kids. And if they didn't want kids, it wasn't probably going to work out because I wanted kids. And so those were things that you could find on OkCupid, which, you know, weren't on Tinder. He actually found me on OkCupid and he reached out to me and he had like three like pictures. One of them was like the one where you could see him the best. And I was like, oh, he looks really cute. The other ones were kind of like big. And I'm like, why is he, you know, you're always kind of a little bit more curious when they don't have like a bunch of pictures. He's like, I wonder what they really look like. But one of the pictures, I'm like, damn, he looks really cute because you could really see his face. And I'm like, okay. So yeah, we met up and like, you know, very quickly as I usually do or did. And this was 7 years ago now. Wow. Mm-hmm. And we had the best time ever. My dating philosophy around the time was whenever I would go on a date with any new guy, I would always also try a new restaurant so that if the date sucked, at least I tried something new. And so we went to this new restaurant called Dear Mom SF. I think it was Dear Mom. It was great. It was really, really great. We instantly hit it off and he just seemed so like on the vibe. We were just like, it was just right. It was just right. And there were no red flags. We played the arcade games that have like the big plastic guns or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I suck at games, by the way, but I was like, yeah, sure, let's play. And he totally beat my ass. And I actually just loved that because he wasn't afraid to like, you know, be himself. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed his authenticity. He was instantly authentic. Like there was nothing about him that was going to be different from who he is today, actually. And like now I know that, but
also I felt that. Yeah. Also, I think arcades are just hot to me for some reason. And I don't know if I can explain it. Maybe it's just being childish and having fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. He was just fun. Everything was fun. It was perfect. And had a really great time. And I couldn't remember, though, for some reason, if he had on his profile, which was weird. But I literally actually asked him on our first date. I was like, wait, so you do want to have kids, right? I wanted to get all the shit out of the way. Like, I was very no-nonsense at that point. But by the time that I met him, like during that dating period of my life, I didn't want to waste anybody's time, including my own. So, yeah, so it was really great. On our second date, we also did a little sleepover situation, but this is a little crazier because I actually asked him, I was like, hey, so I'm going to be going to this like other city that was like about an hour away from where I lived. And I'm going to stay at a hotel and just kind of hang out in that area. It's this town called Santa Cruz in California, which is really great, a little beach town. And I was like, I'm going to Santa Cruz and would you like to come with me? I'm staying there the night and I'd love for you to come with me. I could have been a total psycho killer or something like that, but he totally trusted me and he came with me and we went and we stayed the night in Santa Cruz. And he actually says that trip was the night that he knew I was the one because we went to dinner and then afterward there was like a candy shop. And I found out later that he is obsessed with candy, but I took him to the candy shop and I went like ham on getting like as much candy as possible because I love candy too. I wasn't trying to be like all petite about it. Like I was just like, hell yeah, let's eat all the candy. So I ran and got candy and went back to the hotel room and then just like ate a bunch of candy and had the best night of our lives. And he was like, that was like the best thing ever. Like, he's like, that's when I knew you were the one because of the candy, you know? And I mean, after that, we went on several dates. Eventually he asked me to be his boyfriend on Halloween night, which was kind of nice for me because Halloween's my favorite.
We've talked about it. We love Halloween. I've not taken my decorations down yet. I'm waiting till Christmas. Side note, so what were you wearing for Halloween?
That Halloween, I did this whole like Lady Gaga. I don't know if you remember an American Horror Story when Lady Gaga was in it. She played the Countess and she had this beautiful like black liner and like, she had this like very specific look. So I dressed as her, like a version of the Countess. But I was, you know, shaved bald. So I didn't have any hair, but I had like the liner and all that. And this was before I actually came out as gender fluid. None of that ever bothered him. He was so much more free than I was when it came to like gender roles and all of that. So yeah, that's what I was wearing. I was wearing that with like, I think it was like a skirt and like a harness or something like that.
I love that. Really, yeah, see, have I watched American Horror Story? No. Have I watched every compilation clip of just the scenes where Gaga is in them? Yes, because I can't do horror. It's not for me. But yeah, she's incredible. In fact, while we're at it, I'm gonna link one of the scenes that, you know, when it's just music and they're out on the hunt.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think it's one of the greatest bits of cinema, and it's not even a movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of, you know, how we met and kind of what it manifested into, which, you know, now we're married. I actually asked him to marry me just a year into knowing each other right after my 30th birthday party. And it was a really, really beautiful day because at that time, because it was my 30th, my mom and my sister and my nephews were here as well as his mom. And one of my really good friends was here. There were a lot of people visiting because of that, because I threw like a huge shindig. Like I did a 30s themed party with like a live band that was playing 30s music. It was really fun. And I always do things like, I'm always really extra. That's something you'll learn about me, is that if I'm going to throw a party, I'm going to throw a party. Mm-hmm. It's not just like, oh, here's some cheese and crackers. No, 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 no. expect the whole charcuterie board. So,
I mean,
so,
do you fly people in? That's my question.
I actually have four things, yes.
Okay, noted.
Just so you know. Yeah, so I asked them to marry me, and then it just so happened that all our families were here, essentially. So it was really nice to kind of share that moment with them. And yeah, it was really nice. And here we are 5 years later, married, living the life, not without our troubles. Because, you know, if somebody says that their relationship is perfect, they're a liar, you know, but we do the best we can. And we also are very transparent with each other about like things that like upset us or, you know, if whatever it is, like we communicate to each other, even if it's going to hurt our feelings, because I'd rather my feelings be hurt with him, you know, saying something than not saying anything at all. And then it manifesting into something bigger and worse. So, yeah.
I love this. You know, I've heard about him before. He sounds so lovely. And look, I'm biased, but I think that personally, there's a lot to be said for reserving the right to be chill about things. You know, that he's out here and he's like, you know what? I don't feel the need to like have big thoughts on gender. I'm happy to just kind of go with it and other people's experience of it. And that's very much how I am as well. And, you know, the nice thing getting older and realizing the power of that is that it just encourages people to do the same. And I'll also say, given that we started off the conversation talking about makeup, there's so many ways in which you having a chill approach to like ideas of gender or gender norms actually does really rub off on people. You know, truly people just go with it. You know, and then like eyeshadow, I used to be scared of for years because I was like, that's, you know, that's a bold and like one of the most kind of eye-catching parts of makeup. And now I'm like, that's actually the only bit I'm interested in a lot of the time, is just like a little pop of color, and I find it very entertaining, and that's why I do it.
Yeah, and it looks great on you.
Thank you.
You wear it well.
Oh, thanks. No, you do as well. I was inspired by you, you know. Aww. And so many other people. No, for real. I mean, like, this is, you know, there is a serious point here as well, because as chill as I am about gender stuff, you know, that's not an act, to the point where I don't talk about this stuff much because it feels weird to, because it's like it's not a big focus of mine. So then to make it, you know, I know people have questions sometimes, or people, I know sometimes people like my perspective on it, but I'm like, I actually, most of my funny stories about gender or sexuality are how other people are towards me at times. I find it quite boring. I don't have a huge amount to say. But what I will say is, you know, that ended up being something that was nice and affirming for me, was being able to look and see like so many people were doing, you know, all sorts with their appearance. And I was like, oh yeah, there are a lot of options here. And there has been for so long, you know, so many icons of the past, like Prince and Bowie are two that are so often mentioned, you know. It's been done, been happening, as RuPaul would say.
Yeah.
On that note, we will start to wrap up. And I do want to chat gender and sexuality a bit more in the bit behind the paywall. Yeah. So before we wrap up then, we've got, do you want to go first? I have one in mind for once.
Go for it.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear your, yes.
Well, you know what? I describe myself as a word nerd. I've taken that title. And, you know, I want to use the excuse of talking about like language for a moment, because I know you are so educational in the content that you create. And I love when both correct use of language and correct treatment of people can intersect. So my rule of the game is trans is an adjective and not a noun. What I mean by that is, you know, there is a reason both in terms of like socially not to refer to someone as a trans, but also you are misusing the language. Trans is a descriptor. So in the same way, you wouldn't say, if someone's wearing pink, you would say, that's a person wearing pink. You wouldn't say, that's a pink. No one would know what you're on about.
Mm.
And so in the same way, being trans is a part of someone's experience, it is not their species. So it is both polite and it is correct. You say trans person, trans man, trans woman, but trans on its own is not the way. You've never heard it explained like that before, have you?
not displayed like that, no. But I like that. I like that. That's definitely like, I mean, it makes sense. Look, but I never heard it.
I've noticed a correlation between the people that, can be transphobic and people that complain about the word like being used too much. So I've got something for them and their policing of language.
Yeah, I like that. I've heard people say like, oh, that's a trans, instead of like, you know, that person is trans or they're transgender or are you a trans?
Yeah.
People are very weird. But they're
and there's loads of parallels in this, right? You know, like we talk about in terms of mental health, that it's, there were times when, you know, people would be referred to by diagnoses versus that being, you know, this person has such and such a diagnosis. Now the new fight is trying to get to person's first language, where this is, you know, somebody with such and such versus, I mean, the example I'm thinking of, because a friend of mine is very passionate about this, is she hates it when people say an albino or an albino person. For her, it's a person with albinism.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And it makes it feel like less human, I guess, in a way, and more like an object or...
Exactly.
Yeah, like you're not validated, essentially.
Yeah.
Interesting that, using that as an example, too. Because I generally think a lot about, like, you know, queerness and all of that. And it's interesting that I can hear it from another perspective and other people who are also marginalized.
Oh, when you realize this about me, the scales truly fall. Like, so much of my perspective is comparing one thing to another thing and be like, this is right over here, this is not right over here. That doesn't add up.
Yeah.
There's the key. You'll notice my content becomes a bit more repetitive once you notice that's a big part of how my mind works.
Yeah.
Just got a tick box of all the things I want to be done.
You've got my brain going. I'm like, wait, there's all these... Yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah.
All right. Now that I've confused you by digging into language in a way you weren't expecting, do you have a rule of the game, a bit of advice you'd want to share about relationships?
I think really, I guess, like, maybe, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm doing this rule correctly. I think my rule is just always be willing to listen. And it sounds very just basic, but people don't actually do that. We're consistently like thinking about the next thing we're going to say, that we're not really listening to people. And when you actually listen to people, there's so much that you can gain. And I think that to me is like one of the most incredibly important role that, you know, could definitely like improve your relationships. And I say that humbly because I definitely still work on this a lot. I'm like listening, but I'm also thinking about the next step. Like, what am I going to say next? What am I going to say next? And so am I really listening, you know? So I have to call myself out on that consistently, just so that I can actually sit down and like be present and listen.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my rule, is clear your mind for a second. And when somebody is speaking, listen. Don't think about the next step. Listen, just stop and shut the fuck up and listen. So that's my rule. Does that sound like a good rule?
I love that rule. That's a very me rule, because listening is this thing that we're assumed that we can all do it, that we're all good at it. But you only need to look around. You only need to speak in a circle, and there's always someone that's not listening. So yeah, no, I think that's really important as a thing to practice and get better at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Rules of the game. If people want to find your Instagram or yourself anywhere else in the world, where do they go?
Yeah, I'm most active on my Instagram, so you can find me on Alexander, no special spelling, alexander.tries. So that's Alexander Tries.
Thanks for listening.
For the full experience, you can join our subscription on Apple Podcasts to access extended ad-free episodes. Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta.
The music is Digital Damage by me, Emma Becco.
We're proud to be an independent production.
And leaving a quick review is another way to support the show.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.